Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? Deadstar says in a super chat, JF, can you delete? Please let the crowd know that I was not, in fact, in the chat last night, but was apparently trolled by an imposter. Please ban the nutcase. I banned an account called Deadstar that chatted yesterday, but I'm still not sure. Who's the real Deadstar? Did I ban the real Deadstar? So if there's a real Deadstar out there who can prove that he is the real Deadstar and I've banned him accidentally, he can write to me and explain to me what happened. Because who knows, maybe you're a fake Deadstar. How do I know who's the real Deadstar? It's a problem with Odyssey nicknames that still don't have much identity to them. I guess one way you can avoid this kind of issue is start an Odyssey channel that has more identity. Upload a picture. I see in the chat that there are pictures, so I guess when people type in the chat, let's test it. Yeah, so now your picture can show up. So you can make your account unique by uploading a picture, building a history, having an about page. And this will allow people to recognize your true account from a fake one, especially if you build some degree of followers. If you have two or three friends that follow you, then we can recognize you as being part of the gang, and the other guy who makes a fake account will have zero followers. But Deadstar sends, he had sent $2.76, which is typical of Deadstar. Well, already it's a sign of a genuine account. Deadstar sends bizarre small amounts, like $1.13, $2.76. And now he sends $10. He says, show of loyalty. Well, thank you, Deadstar. But at $10, you're worrying me, Deadstar. That is very much unlike you. So now you're raising even more doubt in my mind. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Nicholas Petris says, amazing that trolls are still targeting JF. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be forever. We are in a culture of troll on the internet, and we benefit from the advantages of the internet, but we have to live with the disadvantages. And one of the great aspects of the internet, in my view, is allowing a collective anonymous discussion. To me, it's never been a goal of me, like Richard Spencer would say, you know, that we have to identify people. I think there is something good in a lack of identity. I think you shouldn't have to live forever with the things that you spout as a young man, as you are trying to explore IDs. You may be wrong sometimes. You don't have to attach your name and identity to every single thing you say. And of course, I don't live that. I live as a public person with my full name, but I think it's great that we allow the option of privacy and anonymity. We have now had an evolution of the WHO, the World Health Organization, which basically has been following an ID that I've thrown on the public space years ago, in front of the whole craziness around vaccines and COVID. I said, hey, you know what? It seems that if you're up for oppressing people on the basis of statistics and say stuff like a pandemic of the unvaccinated, say stuff like you won't get to your job because you're not vaccinated, and say stuff generally like I am entitled to stopping you from having a consenting relationship with some business because you are spreading viruses. I was like, there's a whole lot of things that we could do that would, in the past days, qualify as discrimination, but in the post-COVID days would look like simply management of the pandemic. Among these things, I suggested, there are certain viruses that are extremely more prevalent in the gay population. And so if a business was forced a year or two ago to exclude customers based on the mere possibility that they may carry COVID, and that they were unvaccinated. Why couldn't a business do the same with respect to the gay population when we know that the gay population is highly more likely to be carrying HIV and now monkeypox? And the WHO just, the WHO outbased me. Who knows why? I mean, I find this beautiful. The WHO today is counseling to gay people to stop having relationships with a dozen people a week and to reduce their number of partners, which in my old brain, you know, as a man from the 90s, that sounds discriminatory to me. But it seems that in the post-COVID days, discrimination is not out of the question. Finally, we can finally talk of the reality of certain behaviors, certain association with certain groups will get you into more pandemic risks. And the WHO just did it today. Corvin Carlson says, anyone taking bets on the WHO issuing a public statement, hit the gym, eat a salad? They could. It could. This whole craziness that we've seen could very well eventually extend toward the fat. And toward the fat, it will take a very special meaning, because with the fat people of this world, you can score 2 points. You can discriminate them again on the basis of health risks, but you can also discriminate them on the basis of carbon footprint and environmentalism. And as our governments are starting to attack farmers and production capacities, eventually, perhaps the ire of the crowd, the ire and madness of the crowd, will turn toward the fat. I can't wait to see this day. It's not that I'm cheering for it. I find that we should have stayed in the mood of people do what they want to do, and they run the risks that they want to run. And I cannot stop, as the government, I cannot come in and say to a customer and a business who want to deal together. The customer wants to get in the business wants the customer in its business. I cannot come in and stop this third-party relationship. Ariel Soares says it's going to be so beautiful to see. Because we are entering scarcity of resources. And that means that the fat will eventually be seen as taking too much of the world and taking more than their share. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. Sandy Hook parents asked jury to return $150 million verdict in defamation suit against Alex Jones. I think it's a... It's basically a formality, because Alex Jones has withdrawn from the lawsuit, so he's not even there to defend himself. And it's very likely that the jury will just say, okay, $150 million. What will happen with Alex Jones after this? I hope he's already prepared. Alex Jones at this moment should have zero wealth. If he has a house, if he has a bank account, he should handle this right now, because once the $150 million settlement decision comes in, they're going to be able to repossess some of his assets. And so he better have zero assets that people want of. So that means InfoWars should be owned by someone else. It should be a project company of some friend of Alex Jones, and Alex Jones is merely the intellectual showing up to talk about it, to talk to the crowd every day. He has to reorganize. I hope he did, because this is not going to go away. Someone sent this video talking about homosexuality. How do gay genes stay in the population? And this YouTuber had an expert, this guy, I don't know him, Roy Baumeister, explain his theory of how do gay genes stay in the population. And I was pointing out on Telegram this theory is not a valid evolutionary theory. He says, you know, gay people, you see gay people having 30 female friends, and then you see the super alpha male having zero female friends, and the super alpha male has only one wife. And so he's saying the homosexual guy is basically finding a strategy to surround himself with more females. And he says females prefer gay people because they can attach to them more, they can develop more sympathy and empathy, and they can be more emotional in the conversation within friendship. And I was pointing out this is not an evolutionary explanation because it begs the question, why would females be more attracted to speaking with gay males? Why would they evolve to do this? And if they do reproduce with them, because if you want an evolutionary explanation, there has to be reproduction. These men have to score on these females that they are with. You don't just have to impress the female, you have to inseminate her. And so this begs the question, why are females revolving around homosexuals? And why would it be advantageous with respect to a female who doesn't like hanging around homosexuals? And ultimately, you have to go back to the question, the very same original question, what is the advantage of the homosexual genes? So I already answered these questions many times. There's many theories, but this cannot be the valid one, because it's like saying why do peacocks have long tails? Because females like it. It cannot be this, because if an evolutionarily costly investment is made, there has to be a gain that is bigger. And you haven't explained the gain when you just invoke female preference. You have to indicate why do females have this preference. And in the case of the peacock, it's because the tail carries a signal of genetic quality. So the tail costs something to produce, but it's carrying an even better signal, telling the female that's the right guy. You have to have something like this for the homosexual gene. And this guy didn't explain this. All right, update. The View apologizes. This is so stunning. 2022 is looking good already. The View apologizes to Turning Point USA over defamatory statements after hashtag sue the View trends nationwide on Twitter. So the ladies from the View, including Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar, have been complaining against the TPUSA conference and saying there were Nazis outside your conference. They had this and this sign and that sign, and they were spreading Joseph Goebbels style propaganda. And TPUSA was like, and on top of it, the problem is if they had stopped there, that might have been enough to imply an association. But Whoopi Goldberg actually said, and you did nothing. You did nothing to stop them. The fact is, of course, there was a bunch of Nazis in protest around TPUSA. And TPUSA had kicked them from... Yeah, Nicholas Petrus says groypers. Most probably. I don't imagine the heart of the true neo-Nazis of America truly interested in protesting at the TPUSA event, but I totally imagine the groypers. And at this point, it's like, fucking groypers, man. They are literally indistinguishable from feds. And this is not an accusation that the groypers are feds, but it's like, what would a fed do? Well, what would the groypers do? It's the same thing. They end up, publicizing Nazi imagery in front of TPUSA. I mean, this is, I don't know if they were gripers, but this is the culmination of what the gripers have initiated with Charlie Kirk. It can't go any other way. Okay, if Charlie Kirk kicks them from the conference, now they can't do a whole show about being kicked from the conference. So they have to find something else. So eventually they end up carrying anti-Jewish signs at the entrance of the conference. Hermit M says they were supposedly there in support of DeSantis. Anyways, in any case, TPUSA was frustrated because they felt that they were defamed by The View. And The View not only apologized during the show, like they kind of stepped back and they say we were speaking metaphorically. And it wasn't enough. TPUSA sent a formal attorney letter, a cease and desist. And there was then on the next show a true apology. Where this girl stated, "We want to make clear that these demonstrators were gathered outside the event. Of course, this is totally contrary to how they were presenting it. how they were presenting it in the first show. So they are basically apologizing and withdrawing their statement. But notably, the apology was made by this girl, when in fact it was Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg who had done the defamation. So TPUSA is saying they are not satisfied with the apology. It should come from those who have done the defamation. I don't know if they have a technical point here in court. I think it's interesting. The idea that an apology by a third party is not as good as and not as resolving of the defamatory damage that would be done if the person making the false accusation apologizes. I think it's meaningful. And what happened here is probably the show is protected now, The View is protected. But technically, I think that TPUSA could still go after Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar since they haven't said a word of apology. Very interesting. I'll be following this, and I'd like to see this play out in court, because I'd like, first, we have a Supreme Court that is increasingly on the side of Clarence Thomas, and Clarence Thomas has for many years wanted to enlarge the scope of defamation lawsuits so that it's easier to find someone guilty of defamation. So we have a very sympathetic Supreme Court. That would be a good strategy to use it here. Who recommends gay and bisexual men limit sexual partners, anonymous sex to reduce monkeypox spread? Well, shit. I mean, the summary, 98% of the people who have monkeypox are gay and bisexual. 41% have concurrent HIV. You have got to be kidding me. I mean, there's a problem here. It's like there is an observation here. The people who are behaving with risky behavior that are undermining their immune system end up with monkeypox also, with a new pandemic. Which is why, you know, fighting HIV, like finding a vaccine for HIV, that kind of stuff, I've never been a super fan of, because ultimately, the best protection, as I say on Gab today, the best protection against monkeypox is heterosexual marriage. And we would fix so much. Heterosexual marriage is much more efficient to protect you against monkeypox than the vaccine is to protect you against COVID. That is an absolute mathematical certainty. So, as I point out on Gab, when do we get hetero passports? When do we shut down saunas? It's time to think about it. It's time for the WHO to activate itself and be at least as creative in their oppression of this pandemic than they were in the blocking of the other pandemic. 95% transmission by sexual activity. Of course, there's a huge question coming about the 5% that is not transmission by sexual activity. Because it was found, and this is disgusting to talk about, okay? But it is now recognized by the authorities that the children who had the first cases of monkeypox in the US, I believe, and maybe in some other countries, were contacts of homosexuals. And then you ask yourself, well, okay, so you're telling me that this disease, there's 5% of the transmission that was non-sexual. And presumably those would be the children, right? Because these gay parents won't have sex with their children, with their adopted children. And you're like, wait a minute, maybe they do. Maybe it's 100% transmission by sexual activity. And what's increasingly being revealed by this monkeypox children pandemic is basically a marker for a network of groomers and pedophiles. I'm worried that this is where we're headed. I would like to know exactly in what circumstances did these children of homosexual parents add fucking monkeypox? And why, you know, you would understand why heterosexual marriage protects you from the risks of monkeypox, but I wouldn't understand why aren't heterosexual parents passing on monkeypox to their children? I mean, it's horrible, but we should investigate this kind of thing. Of course we won't. Don't worry. Dead Star says, that is the real me super chatting on Odyssey. He's joining us on Entropy. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for receiving support for the show, and the dollar button is accessible to everyone with an account on Odyssey. It's also important that you create an Odyssey account. We want to prop up their number. We want them to be happy. We want them to be growing, because right now it's the beginning of the fall for big tech. And so big tech is now losing income on their quarterly reports. It's time to knock them hard with your views, with your time, with your computer. Hang out on Odyssey, watch other Odyssey creators, and create the Odyssey username. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Who recommends gay and bisexual men limit sexual partners to reduce the spread of monkeypox? About 99% of cases are among men. Fascinating. Men here are popping out. It seems that I'm not surprised, because I don't know if it's a prejudice. I don't know if I have the facts to back this out, but I believe that the homosexual gay community of men is slightly more multi-partner than the lesbian community. I don't know. It's an impression I have based on testosterone and all sorts of measures of the fact that men are just, they need more sex. They need more sex very often. So yes, 95% of those patients are men who have sex with men, Lewis said, who confirmed on CNBC. And some memes are emerging. how to avoid getting monkeypox. Wow, that is simple. We've went full circle. We're back to the science now says that the traditional lifestyle that we had before we opened up our sexual lives to all sorts of identities, the science is clear on this. The traditional heterosexual lifestyle is the best protection at this moment. Unvaccinated tennis champ Novak Djokovic barred from US Open under Biden's COVID vaccine mandate. Djokovic was previously detained in Australia due to his pro-medical freedom stance. Unvaccinated tennis champion Novak Djokovic will be forced to sit out the sport's US Open, which will begin next month. I can't believe it's still in operation. We still have a federal COVID vaccine mandate? You gotta be kidding me. Well, good for him, and hopefully the US starts losing money and eventually the businesses will go to see Biden and say, okay, let's stop it now. No one cares about the pandemic anymore. Let's get these big sports guys back into the US. Two All-Star Cardinals MLB players will miss upcoming games over refusal to get vaccinated. The Cardinals are forced to play without two star players because of Canada's vaccine requirements. Another case of a society punishing itself. Canada, what a pathetic country. Punishing itself by forcing a baseball game to be even more boring than baseball is at the baseline, you know. Now you're cutting out two of the best players. There's nothing left. Baseball is a dead horse at this point, and Canada is self-punishing with its vaccine mandate. There is a breaking news that's very interesting. We're going to have to follow this. Whistleblowers say FBI pressured and incentivized agents to classify cases as domestic terrorism. Now, this is a letter from, I believe, some politicians who have received the credible testimony from whistleblowers within the FBI, who are saying, look, we're getting pressured to conclude that these cases are domestic terrorism when they're clearly not. I mean, it's like the... And there's something that's not said in this letter. I believe that what's behind this is the whole goal of the leftist and the Democrat to have the intelligence community conclude that white people doing terrorism are the biggest threat in the nation. I believe that the way they got to this statement is by reclassification. And it's exactly what they're complaining against. The agents are complaining that they are pressured to reclassify cases as domestic violent extremism despite lacking the criteria to meet such a classification. And we've been following this story for many years on this show, because this all started with ADL reports saying white right-wingers are the biggest terroristic threats. And I was reviewing their report, and it's like they took some guy who killed a car salesman because he was pissed at the car salesman. But the guy also had, I don't know, maybe a Nazi flag in his room or a tattoo that says some edgy words. And then they conclude, okay, this is a case of domestic violent extremism. That's what the ADL had done 3 years ago, 4 years ago. That was back in the days. But eventually, it blew into the FBI doing it also, taking these cases and making them falsely represented as political violence. They were taking boyfriend girlfriend conflicts. Some boyfriend assaults a girlfriend, but the boyfriend also was a right winger, so domestic violent extremism. And it seems that what the whistleblowers are complaining is exactly in line with this kind of reclassification. Although the report and the letter by the politician does not mention at all that it's about white terrorism that was being propped up. But I think we should dig into this, because I have no doubt that this is related somehow to the ADL trying to up the count of white people doing terrorism so that they could end up saying in their report, you know, we often talk about criminality and race, but what's often not said is that white right-wingers are the most involved in domestic terrorism even, exactly due to that kind of reclassification. I don't know this. Simon Gold is in jail. Simon Gold says, judge who sentenced her once asked her out on a date and she refused. That's fascinating. This doctor, you know, you'll remember she was a, well, she is an anti-vax doctor, so she's been covering a lot of things and being present at a lot of speeches. And she also was on in January 6th. She was there on January 6th. And because she stepped into the Capitol, they found her guilty of trespass. And she writes from jail. She writes the story of her and the judge. She basically tells the story of her. Basically, she didn't know that the judge was a guy who asked her out at Stanford University back in 1993. But that she realized this just during the Zoom call, which was her hearing. And so as she realized this, she wasn't prepared. So she didn't do a proper legal request for recusal. But she felt like maybe he's going to recuse. Oh my God, that's the guy I asked for a date. And it seems that it never happened. The judge never recused. And so she is stating all of the facts, including the fact that he would have asked her out, and she said she declined because I wasn't interested. She tells further things. Now she gives four examples that she considers are indicative of that the judge had extreme bias. The place where she loses me, I'm very sympathetic to all of this, but in number 11, she basically makes the argument, I'm a woman. I shouldn't be in jail. For example, in addition to the judge's words, are his actions, the sentence the judge handed down was extreme. While he was careful to stay within the guidelines, even the most cursory review supports the extremity of his sentence. I have never been involved in the criminal justice system. There is no allegation of violence past, present, or future. This was a sentencing for a first-time misdemeanor trespass. I am 55 plus female, and I have spent my entire life, blah, blah, blah. I have two children. Listen, I was very sympathetic, and I would have hashtagged Free Simone Gold if it wasn't that I am back to this fucking entitlement that fucking women have, fucking criminals thinking that the law doesn't apply to them. And so she has a sentence of 60 days, and I will say Simone Gold rot in jail for 60 days. That's, you've been touching me on my nerve here. It's not because you're a female, nor because you're 55 plus, that a judge should lower your sentence. This is not a good factor for consideration of less punishability. So I'm happy that she's in jail, given that she's willing to invoke that kind of argument. There is a huge problem in this country, and it's the fact that the law doesn't apply to women. And it's time we get this resolved. Facebook Meta's reports first ever revenue drop. Meta platforms on Wednesday forecast current quarter revenue below estimates after the Facebook parent recorded its first quarterly drop in revenue amid the general weakness in the digital ad market. Shares of the Menlo Park, California-based company were down about 5% in extended trading, so it's a small drop. Analysts were expecting $30.52 billion income, but they went down by a few millions, bringing them to about $28.5 billion. So that's the first sign that big tech has peaked. We have reached peak big tech. And that is extremely interesting because they will lose power. They will become a little more reasonable, maybe on censorship, or they will continue censorship and they will lose customers and they will eventually crash. I cannot wait. I'm frotting my hands Just waiting for the absolute destruction of big tech. This has to come. MySpace fell. Napster fell. Everything falls. AOL fell. Yahoo.com fell. Everything falls one day. That's the second law of thermodynamics. And Facebook will fall. Twitter will fall. I cannot wait for it to happen. And it starts now because in a world of inflation, you have to increase your revenue to maintain your position. If you don't increase revenue and there's inflation, then you're really decreasing your revenue. Firestarter says everything must go. A big reference to the beginnings of the Joker movie, where he holds, as he is disguised as a clown, he holds this sign, everything must go. This will be awesome. In a major boost to Democrats, Manchin and Schumer announced deal for energy and healthcare bill. There are two massive events happening today in the finance sector. One, there was the Fed meeting in which they did their big rate hike, which normally should be welcomed as, oh my God, this is going to induce some more recession. But actually, the markets responded quite positively, especially Bitcoin. Bitcoin somehow responded positively to the Fed being more more clever with their management of money. Why? Probably because people have the impression, okay, the fear is now gone. You know, the Fed will not continue these massive rate hikes. They will go softer going forward. And so people, they know that the Band-Aid has been scratched and that there's no more pain to come. That's probably why Bitcoin popped up. And I think it might continue popping up further because this is major news that indicates the Democrat government might be on its way to massively increase expenses and to have some kind of a Green Deal happening, because Joe Manchin, you know, he's the Democrat who's been resisting crazy spending. So he's been voting with the Republicans very often. He was refusing to let some Green New Deal pass. And now he has reached some deal. And instead of being in the trillions of dollars, we're talking in the $370 billion. Now, it's much smaller than what the Democrats wanted, but it's still absolute communism. And it's still, the government will be massively injecting money, especially in the sectors of climate, energy generation, that kind of crap. Now, it's also the Democrats being more close to the needs of the people, because of course if that was to pass, I wouldn't be surprised that it would trickle down into lower energy prices across the board, no matter how it does this. You know, they say green energy, but it might very well result in lower fuel prices. And that's the Democrat disciplining themselves, because the midterm elections are happening and they don't want to be caught in the worst economy possible when they ask the American people to vote for them. So overall, a very leftist progression here. The fact that Joe Manchin will not be blocking the Democrats anymore is scary and dangerous, but at least he made them a little more reasonable in their leftism. Based says, JF, the JF cover China and Russia forming a new global reserve currency backed by precious metals. I think I've seen this news past. I may not have covered it, though. I think I've seen it on Gab, on my news. But I didn't cover it because I don't know much about it. But go ahead and inform me, you know, if you want to send me a DM on Discord or you want to send me a chat tonight, I can learn if there's anything important I should learn. Go away, says JF, screw BTC. I'm setting up a solar panel installation business. I mean, this is basically it. The solar installation businesses will be funded by government to give you solar panels you wouldn't want otherwise. It's insane. I mean, we're seeing this in Canada. People having things installed on their land against their will. I mean, not against their will. They're like, okay. They say, okay, the government says, I want to install a heat pump. I want to redo your window. And they're like, okay, you're going to do this all for free? Yeah. Okay, well, let's do it. And it's all, it skews the market. It creates companies that are more at the service of the government than at the service of customers. And we should be extremely worried long term, because it creates a zombie economy of basically governmental parasites who will only please the government in what they do, and they don't really deliver a service to the people. And the best way we can get to a solar economy that works is not through government injections in that style. It's by saying to solar companies, you need to develop a fucking solar panel that people want to buy, that's worth buying. As long as they're paid to install the solar panels that are underproductive, they're going to keep doing it. They have no incentive to find better. The best incentive to find better is if they were faced with the force of the market. You want me to buy your solar panels? You have to prove to me that with the same amount of money, I would get less if I was to buy coal-generated electricity. There you go. This is the problem of incentives in the economy. Netflix turned... wait a minute. Just a second so that I can display it on the screen. Netflix turned Jarl Håkon, the last pagan ruler of Norway, into a black woman in its new Vikings show. If there's one thing for sure, is that the Vikings weren't black. That the and this guy apparently is documented enough that we know he was a Viking and he was a man. But you have now this movement for historical revisionism, where Netflix is like, oh my god, we have to meet our black woman quota. And the result of this is, well, we have here a Viking queen who's described as a king, as a white king in the history books, but she's gonna have to be a black woman in our particular historical revision of it. Ukraine government asks US to provide gas land lease. This is absolutely stunning. This is condescension and entitlement by Ukraine. They are asking the US to give them land lease in a way that the US wouldn't even allow a US company to do so. You know, the US has been, under Biden, has been blocking this kind of project. Now they're about to give it to Ukraine if Ukraine gets its way. The Ukrainian government on Tuesday asked Washington to provide Kiev with a land lease program to import natural gas from the US to ensure Ukraine has enough gas for heating this winter. Well, I have bad news for you. Natural gas has been shut down by Russia. They have reduced their deliveries to Europe to 20% of capacity when they were regularly at 80% of capacity most of the year. So there's going to be a huge demand for, and there's going to be no offer for natural gas in the coming months and in the coming winter. So now Ukraine adds to it by wanting more natural gas. Well, you're in trouble. I don't think the US will have natural gas. Adair says, given that Ukraine was in the Soviet Union, Wouldn't this be the second time the US has provided lend-lease? I don't know what you're referring to. I don't know much about the Soviet Union interaction with lend-leases with US. I don't know what you're talking about, but it's probably true. I just don't know about it. The idea is for the US to provide gas to Ukraine and collect payment at a later time. So they would be. Ah, well, there it is. They're talking about it. Similar to the World War II era lend-lease program that was revived this year to facilitate military aid to Ukraine. So we're not just going to send free money, unsupervised free money to a corrupt country. We're also going to pack some gas and natural resources. I hope the US doesn't do this. I think that under Trump, there would be no question this won't happen. They're talking about getting the gas for 2 years without paying. Imagine this, 2 years of gas flow without a single dollar being paid. John Drake says delivery of natural gas via ship needs lots of specialized infrastructure. It isn't happening this winter, Ukraine. Yes, there's the question of how this will be delivered, but I don't know. Perhaps the US is capable of redirecting flows to already existing pipelines. I don't know how that would happen exactly. So the Fed meeting, basically, the Fed meeting, although it was doing a large cut, a large hike of the rates, it was welcomed by the markets, basically, at least on the BTC side, as okay, this is over and there won't be much rate hikes in the future. So I'm happy because I was just like Forex Shark on our Discord. I was long Bitcoin. And anyways, I've been always keeping my Bitcoin throughout the bull run. So I want Bitcoin to be doing well in the future. Go away, says JF. How the hell is this allowed in 2022? Send them some windmills and electric heaters. For electric heaters, you need to be able to generate electricity. So that doesn't work. Fed makes history with second massive rate hike in as many months. That is the title at CNN. An Israeli court ruled that they can and will segregate black kids. Court rejects asylum seekers' petition against segregation in Tel Aviv schools. The petition accused the municipality of deliberately sending asylum seekers' children to certain schools to keep them separate from Israeli children. 91.5% of asylum seekers' children attend schools without a single Israeli student. And look at this, you end up with an entire school of black people. Of course, people were pointing out on Gab that it's amazing how the Jews, when they control a nation versus when they're in the minority of this nation, how they will advocate for segregation in Israel, but not segregation in America, and in fact, actively combat segregation. I get it. It's a differential behavior of a collective. I don't like this argument of double standard because you have to treat Jews in Israel as individuals and Jews in America as separate individuals. You can't call them out for inconsistency because they're not the same people. That is very important. The Jews of Israel are not the same people as the Jews of America. That being said, it's interesting to see in a developed nation that we have often called our greatest ally, that our greatest ally is allowing itself things that we wouldn't allow ourselves. Corvin Kallsine says, how do they even end up in Israel? I thought they weren't taking asylum seekers. Yeah, I'm sure it's already a very reduced number compared to many Western nations, but it seems that there are people still making it there. Vox Media cuts staff due to current economic conditions. Vox Media may be the latest canary in the coal mine, as the privately held digital media company is reportedly laying off 39 employees. It's not the first time that we see cuts in the leftist media, and it's a good thing. I think they are part of machines that are unsustainable, and hopefully they are part of the big crash that will eventually, inevitably affect all these big tech companies also. Breaking 9/11, Justin in turnaround, Senator Manchin says he has a deal with top Democrat to cut health care and energy costs, reduce federal debt. So somehow they have met the standards of Joe Manchin, and we will have a big Democrat budget voted. Now there's still the question of whether they will find enough support to meet the standard of the Senate, which with the filibuster is 60 senators. That's still an open question. Perhaps you'll have the Republicans voting against this budget. But it's also possible that there will be enough of these middle of the road Republicans, like Mitt Romney style, who might very well allow the Democrats to pass their big budget. I think it would be a strategic error because any injection of money in the economy, whether fair or good or bad, is going to have an effect on stimulating artificially the economy, and people are going to have the impression that the depression is over. The money eventually trickles down to active economic decisions. So even if you just paid the solar panel installers, eventually the solar panel installers make so much money, they spend it here and there, and eventually all the businesses grow. So, very bad strategic decision if the Republicans let this pass. Now, there's also the possibility that they will just cancel the filibuster. The Democrats have enough power to decide we won't have the 60 members criteria. We will bring it back to 50 plus 50% plus one. CNN exclusive: Biden administration offers convicted Russian arms dealer in exchange for greener. Imagine that we are going to exchange a massive Russian arms dealer trophy capture by the US for a basketball player with a marijuana pipe in Russia. It seems to be what's going to happen. After months of internal debate, the Biden administration has offered to exchange Victor Boot, a convicted Russian arms trafficker serving a 25-year U.S. prison sentence, as part of a potential deal to secure the release of two Americans held by Russia, Brittney Griner and Paul Whelan, according to people briefed on the matter. These sources told CNN that the plan to trade Boot for Whelan and Griner received the backing of President Joe Biden after being under discussion since earlier this year. Biden's support for the swap overrides opposition from the Department of Justice, which is generally against prisoner trades. But then there's the question of what Russia will do. Will it be important enough for Russia to get this guy back? I don't, he's probably not active anymore, and probably Russia has found replacements for whatever his role was. But Russia could demonstrate to its population that, look, when you take our side, we will do whatever we can to get you back. Perhaps that would be a signal that Vladimir Putin is interested in sending in this time of war. Time to start asking some questions, says Mark Collett on Gab. If my dog got three rabies vaccines in a year and still got rabies, I would start asking questions. I love this meme. I think I may have already illustrated it on a past show, but I just love this meme, and I saw that it was posted by Mark Collett. Amazing. US carrier group heads towards Taiwan ahead of potential Pelosi trip after China warns a forceful response. It's amazing. This woman wants to go in Taiwan to make a show of force and a show of association and basically shame China, to show that Taiwan is basically American territory. And now, to do that, of course, they receive threat from China. China says, we won't allow that to happen. And now you have to have a bunch of US boats that will be escorting and getting around Taiwan to for the whole thing to happen. She's about to cause a potential World War III just by visiting Taiwan. Because if China is offended enough that they take action against Taiwan, and Russia and the US has to respond, and Russia sees that the US is weak and start to do its own things, you have a world war in the brewing here. A world war this time involving Asian nations. What a crazy decision to make. Former NCAA swimmer forced to compete with Leah Thomas details extreme discomfort in the locker room. Riley Gaines discusses how Leah Thomas poses a threat to women's sport on Fox Nation's Tucker Carlson. So she describes that the atmosphere, of course, in the locker room is extremely tense. Because here you have a bunch of women who have trained to be the best woman they can in a given sport, and then you have this guy who eventually became a woman, decided to become a woman, and is now beating all of them. Very interesting interview with Tucker Carlson. Democrats are infuriated after Hulu blocks controversial ads supporting abortions, gun control, and January 6. That's a nice little story of Democrat self-own and self-backlash. It's like the Democrats have been pushing for so much limitations in the political use of ads. They've been complaining that Trump was using ads. They've been complaining about the things that he was presenting in there. So as a result, there was a big development of censorship, and there is strong censorship around subjects like January 6th, and to some extent around any sort of controversial matters like abortions and gun control. And now the Democrats are getting censored, because if you want to make an ad that criticizes the January 6th event, you're gonna have to show that event. You're going to have to show the positions of Republicans about voting and the fraud that could have happened then. And as a result, you will be violating the rules of these platforms. But those are the rules you've been wanting. You just hadn't realized that it would apply to you eventually. European gas soars as Russia throttles NS1 flows to just 20% of capacity. Look at this. They were at 70, 80% of capacity. Schlock. Since June, there was very low capacity on this line. And now we are dropping also on the red line. So Russia is starving Western Europe, believe it or not. This is going to be a good one. Pull out your popcorn. I can't wait for the cold to start hitting. Like in Don't Starve Together, you know, when the winter comes, it's like, and then you die. Can't wait to see what will happen with Western Europe without this flow of natural resources from bigger countries. Disclose.tv reports. This one we have already talked about, but it was the Facebook drop in revenue. It is the first ever revenue drop, and it misses on its earnings. Excellent news. And we have a last news item before the show ends. Oh my God, no, we don't have a last news item. That was my last news item. Ariel Suarez says, I've never played Don't Starve Together. It seems fun. Don't Starve Together can be addictive. There's huge problems with the game. One of the problem is the collective aspect of it is mismanaged such that just one troll can come in your game and burn your entire base. There's nothing you can do about it. A troll can if just one troll connects to your game, doesn't matter that you worked for 8 hours, you can take a torch. Your entire base goes in fire. I love the extreme aspect of it, the Darwinian nature of it, but it's like, bro, this is the internet. This is the internet. We cannot be fully in our state of nature like this. You cannot allow any troll to just ruin your life. The second problem with Don't Starve Together is, man, if you want to do something beautiful, it's a 10-hour game without pause. So 10 hour without pause. If you go to the bathroom, it's gotta be during the day or you're gonna die. It's really, if you start a Don't Starve Together game, it's either going to suck or you're gonna spend 10 hours of intense gaming work and you're gonna have a beautiful base after 10 hours. The third aspect of it, and probably the gravest if you want to get interested in this game long term, there is not enough diversity in the routes that a game can take, and ultimately every 10-hour batches that you can give to this game will always be the same. Because once you've mastered the game enough that you can, just like me, have 10 rows of grass, 10 rows of twigs, 5 rows of turkey-producing berry bushes, and you have your entire setup for the bees, and you have 6 bee houses, beehives, and you have some of the basic stuff that everyone wants to get. Once you've accomplished this, and you've done it in 10 hours, and you have also done the rune run to obtain the gears that will allow you to produce your Plingomatic ice machines to survive the summer heat. The problem is, this is over. The game is over. It's never going to get better. The aesthetic aspects of your base, you might be able to improve, but there's not going to be much happening. And there's not kind of something that takes you longer than the 10-hour high. After this, it's just surviving. And because it's an online game where anyone can connect, you're going to end up alone in your server, holding your base. It's going to be like, okay, I have a base. I have a beautiful, everything in its is in its right place. And then you're just going to stay there and do nothing, just to keep the base alive. So I think that they have failed at creating a continuity of experience where I would like a server that lives for weeks or months or, but we don't get this. We get servers that the 10-hour can be done maybe by one person, sometimes joined by 3 or 4 other people, but eventually the summer will come, the frogs of the spring will go away, and the people will disconnect because their mother is telling them that the spaghetti is ready. You find yourself alone as an adult, abandoned by your new children friends who had obligations to follow their mother's order, couldn't stay in the server, and you find yourself absolutely isolated, holding the base still with a torch to protect against the ghost of the night. Don't Starve Together is a suffering experience, but it's not so different from reality. Bye bye.